to episode 12 of A View from the Bridge on the 17th of January 2006. Here at A View from the Bridge, we try to bring you all the news and views of the Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. My name is Patrick Smith.
And I'm Aaron Carnahan. Welcome to the show. On this week's show, we're going to have a look back at the previous weekend's two games. Look forward to this weekend, another big weekend for the Coors Belfast Giants. Quick look around the league and discuss any team news and anything else that crops up.
It's been an eventful weekend, one of highs and lows. And of course, if you want to give us your views on what's went on and what we talk about, you can contact us on podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. You can give us a ring on our rant line on 0141-416-1296. And of course, you can visit our website at kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. So, Aaron, like I say, it's been a weekend of ups and a weekend of downs, but it started off on Saturday night with an interesting game, I said tenuously, against the Edinburgh Capitals.
Yeah, it was a game that was, I think we mentioned last week, it was second leg of the new Planet Ice National Cup quarterfinals, which the Giants already had a 7-3 lead from the first leg. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty much all over before it even started. Mm-hmm. Nathan Craze got the starting goal and played pretty well. But to be fair, you know, it wasn't the most exciting game of the season. It finished with a 4-2 win for the Giants, but mm-hmm. to be fair, it wasn't even as close as that would suggest.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a game, as you say, it's difficult to get yourself hyped up for when you've got a lead like that. And it's quite unfortunate considering that the last game we had against the Edinburgh Capitals was equally as dull.
At home, yeah, the games we had away with the Capitals were both very good games, and Capitals seem to be a lot tougher, you know, in their own rink. But as you say, the previous game was probably the worst of the season, mm-hmm. The 1-0 result then, and again with 4-2, at least we got a few goals this time, gave us something to talk about.
Didn't last too long the game either, did it?
No, I believe. Nigel pointed out during the webcast that it was the quickest game in Odyssey history.
Mm-hmm. An hour and 45 minutes, more or less. Yeah. The last time a game was that short against the Edinburgh Capitals, there were rumours that they were trying to catch the HSS boat back to Scotland.
Well, now, I think there's something similar this time. At the end of the game, during the presentations, Tony Hand skated up to our announcer, Big Paul, and told him to get a move on. And then as the Edinburgh team... Of course, with that being, I think that was their final visit of the season,
mm-hmm.
Barring, of course, if we get them in the playoffs. Skating around, you know, to thank the fans and give a bit of recognition to the fans. And Tony Hand was standing at the door waving at them to hurry up,
mm-hmm.
Which was interesting. Of course, it was nice to see a few of them skate further away from him,
mm-hmm.
while he waved at them.
And you said, I remember speaking to you during the game, and you were saying that there was seemed to be a bit of a competition going on between the fans, or between the players, or that's what it appeared to be anyway.
Yeah, I think something along the lines, I think maybe Theo Fleury or someone had said in the changing rooms before the game, that the first person to skate from behind our own goal, before he does, the full length of the ice and score, would get a check for £1,000, because I think Theo himself tried it, Graham Walton tried it, Steve O'Brien I think tried it at one point, George Iwata had a go, so it just seemed to be something that they must have had, I don't know, it just looked like something they'd had a bet on before the game, but of all the people, Graham Walton probably came closest.
Well, a bit of a training piece in the end then.
Yeah, unfortunately, but I think And to be fair to Edinburgh as well, it was obviously going to be difficult for them to get up for the game.
Mm-hmm.
But they still tried and they played well. They had quite a short bench as well. I think they had only 14 players over, including their two netminders. So they had only 12 skaters over, which is going to make it tough for them from the start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course, now the Giants move on to the semi-finals, and we'll see who they meet there. Well, after... And with that win, they moved on to Newcastle on Sunday night, back into the league. Obviously, a much more important game, and one that the Well, I say a must win. I'd say I don't think it was a must win, as Newcastle had lost the night before.
Yeah, I think the big thing was that Newcastle lost the previous night to Cardiff, which was obviously a bit of a shock, with just the way Cardiff has been playing of late, and added into the fact that obviously Newcastle have been playing very, very well. That defeat basically meant that we were as you were. Mm-hmm. You know, if Newcastle were to claim the win on the Sunday night, which kept, you know, even if they were to win, it would have kept us in pole position. So that took a bit of the pressure off ourselves. Mm-hmm. And put it back onto Newcastle, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, went into the game thinking, like I say, it's definitely one we'd like to win, but unfortunately it didn't end up that way.
No, unfortunately not. 6-4 was the final score in favour of the Newcastle Vipers. A result that probably over the course of the game they deserved. I think you'd probably agree with me on that one.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I thought overall the Vipers picked up, played, but they were faster than the puck. They were, their passing was swift, and I thought that our defense was lacking as well, because there were a number of times there were breakaways, and especially for the first goal and the goal, both goals for David Longstaff were both given open shots for him from the slot, from passes, whereas our defense tried to cope with one player.
Yeah, we just seemed to have an awful lot of trouble clearing the zone for some reason and getting the puck out, which basically kept us under pressure for longer, you know, mm-hmm. and put Mike Menard under pressure. And as was said at the end of the game, he didn't have one of his better games. There were maybe two or even three of the goals that, by his own high standards, obviously, and by what he's done previous in the season, that he probably would have liked to have had back. And maybe on one of his, you know, on one of his better nights, he wouldn't have conceded some of them. But, you know, we're not blaming him at all for the loss or anything like that. I just thought, the Giants, and I think maybe having played Edinburgh the night before, and a game, as we've said, that wasn't overly tough, was very quick, didn't seem to have been taken too seriously. Don't know whether, you know, there was some carryover from that.
Mm-hmm. Started off as a bit of a rough game. It only took a matter of seconds before Jeremy Cornish and Sean Skihar decided it was time to settle old scores.
Yeah, I think that's carrying over from whenever Sean Skihar basically knocked Cornish to the ice and hurt his knee. And the previous time that Newcastle had been in the Odyssey, pretty even bout. Both players sort of, it was actually quite a, there wasn't much defense in that fight. Mm-hmm. Both of them pretty much just flew in there with the hands swinging, and it was over pretty quickly. I say they threw a few quick punches and then fell to the ice pretty quickly, so it was pretty even.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, Skihar continued his pretty good record of, well, he's certainly not lost too many.
No. Yeah, and then, of course, Jason Bowen went up against Andre Pyatt in the corner.
Yeah, which was, again, we think probably one which carried over a bit from previous games. Well, even from previous seasons, I think the two of them don't seem to like each other too much.
Mm-hmm.
This season or last.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that seemed to be one in which Pyatt came out on top, despite Jason Bowen throwing a dig that
well, I would slightly disagree. Have called it pretty even, with maybe really? A slight. I wouldn't have called it a win. Put it that way for Pyatt.
Oh, that's probably somewhere I'd have to disagree. That I felt that maybe Jason Bowen opened up with a few good digs, and then it was all Pyatt from there. But
the thing about it, Pyatt, though, was none of his punches were clean punches that landed. Most of them sort of caught the back of the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
He did get more in, but you know, they seemed to catch the helmet, which of course obviously is a classless thing to do, according to a few Vipers fans, is to keep your helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
But
Pyatt wears a visor. That was a point that I would have made on that.
Well, exactly, and we've made that point, I think, about Odoya before, who seems to keep his helmet and visor on quite a lot, but no, I would actually have called it even, because I think basically the opening few punches from Jason Bowen gave him the upper hand, and Pyatt then came back into it, and he did get pretty much the takedown, but it was more of a wrestle than knocking him down with the punches.
A bit of first disagreements on a few from the bridge, but I'll let you away with that, Aaron. But I'll keep our fight fans happy. The goals were have to say, probably one of the better goals, unfortunately, I hate to say it, was Jan Krajicek's rocket from the blue line, which was down to a bad mistake by the...
Yeah, again, that was defense. One where we didn't clear the zone.
Mm-hmm.
The puck came to him basically just on the blue line, and he fired it. It was a great shot.
Thought it was about to rip the net.
Yeah, it was one of the ones that I mentioned that I thought Menard might maybe have wanted back.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Now, as I say, there's no doubt in it was a great shot, but Menard had a pretty good view of it, and it wasn't right up in the top corner. It was roughly halfway up the net, and we've seen him make the glove save before
on
those kind of shots. No, and again, I'm not getting at him at all, but it was sort of, you know, it might have been one of the ones that maybe on another night he would have just turned away.
At the other side, Trevor Koenig had a fantastic game, I thought.
Probably the best he's played against us so far. He showed, you know, why he is probably ranked stats-wise at the top of the Elite League goalie standings. So, but again, there was a couple of the goals on him as well, which maybe he would have liked to have had back. So you know, it's.
But he stood up a number of the one-on-one chances that the Giants again.
Yeah.
Again, Curtis Hoppe, Colin Shields, all went in one-on-one on Koenig, and Koenig stunned him cold. He was fantastic.
Yeah,
in the one-on-ones.
The one that stood out to me was a fantastic save he made off Theo Fleury. Ed Courtney passed the puck out from behind the goal, from behind the goal line to Fleury, who absolutely hammered the shot. And Koenig just got his left leg. He kicked it away while still standing. It was very old-fashioned style save, which was one that stood out to me because it was a great shot.
Mm-hmm. So the Newcastle Vipers and the fans absolutely overjoyed to come away with the win. And ourselves, I know personally, especially in that third period, I got very, very frustrated with our play. I don't think we could we strung 2-3 passes together, and none of the passes were stick to stick.
No, a lot of them were just behind or just in front of people or getting intercepted. Or
it was very frustrating
like
to watch.
I was very frustrated. I was very, very disappointed, especially after having got back into the game, you know, twice really. We've been 2-0 down, got back to 2-2, and then 3-2 down and back to 3-3 at the end of the second.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much at that stage I thought, right, we've got them back to 3-3. This is our chance to, you know, to move on and take, you know, win the game. And we just didn't seem to be at it in that third period.
Mm-hmm. But two back-to-back losses in the league. But it's no reason to panic.
No, well, I mean, we've Nottingham on Friday night, which now takes on a bit more
bonus. Really, it's a game where we've lost two back to back. It shows that we are vulnerable,
and we do need to get back on track. Obviously, at the Odyssey this year, we've been very good, and I'd hope to continue that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be interesting. It'll be a big game.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a second. We'll move on now and have a wee look around the league. And then playoff dates finally announced.
Yes, finally officially announced. Yes. Announced as the 8th and 9th of April.
Yes.
I believe. Which fortunately was the weekend that I had booked off work.
Oh, now isn't that handy?
And had booked hotels and flights for. So.
Same here. I just looked at chance. I was thinking about a weekend in Nottingham, and it's just by pure chance I booked that weekend in Nottingham and booked my hotels as well. Fantastic. The coincidence.
Yes, it worked out quite well. So I'm looking forward now to the next bit. Obviously, I think the tickets will probably be released fairly soon then.
Yes, hopefully.
They're normally released maybe end of January, start of February, so that will be
And no doubt the Elite League will hike up the price again. So.
Well, was it 60? 60 odd last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, the price of 50, then 64, 65.
I wonder if we'll break the £70 barrier this year.
We'll see. I wouldn't put it past them, to be honest.
It'd be interesting to see as well if they have a third, fourth place game again after last year's
debacle. It was a bit of a... had their fun there. They didn't really take it all that seriously, but...
I quite enjoyed it, I have to say, but whether that's what the league wanted or not, I don't know.
Well, we'll see. All that around the league is Ken Simpson. At Sheffield,
yes,
taking an injury. As it was put on the Kingdom of the Giants forum by our own Sheffield correspondent Exile, it never rains but it pours. Out there,
no. Well, I mean, he seems to have been. He's one of the few import forwards that they actually have at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
himself and who else is there? Dudiam. Himself and Mark Dudiam are the only two sort of import forwards that they have playing at the minute. And as far as we can make out, it's a broken hand, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He received a slap shot from a teammate to the hand, which broke the hand, and it looks like he's going to be out until around about the time of the playoffs as well.
Really something now, especially when the loss of Mike Perron and now the loss of Kent Simpson, and they're hoping that both will be able to get back for those playoff times, because the Steelers, as we've said, we've spoken about the Steelers a hell of a lot in this show, and maybe because they're not performing as we've come to expect, and the likes of the loss of Perron and now the loss of Simpson, and you know, their fans will be hoping that come around playoff time they'll be able to put up a bit more of a fight.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll be back. I've read a report that Mike Perron seems to be at the minute anyway, a week ahead of schedule in his recovery, which is obviously for Sheffield a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they'll be wanting to rush him back too soon.
Mm-hmm.
But taking on from that, young Mark Lefebvre has been released by Coventry just today, I've heard, we've read. And I would say he, having sort of played along in Sheffield before, he could be on his way back there by the sounds of things.
Yes, was always a favourite of the Sheffield crowd, as far as I'm aware, was Ferby.
Yeah,
and,
especially the young females, it seems.
But apparently Kent Simpson is too. But
I think he's more famous or more popular with all females, not just the young ones.
Not just the old ones. But it'll be interesting to see if Ferby does return to Sheffield and bolster their team.
I don't think he's maybe the class that we're looking for, but I think they might be at the stage where
beggars can't be choosers, really.
Yeah, they'll take anything they can get at the minute. You know, obviously, I think there were maybe with the sort of appointments of Maxwell and Whistle hoping to build towards the playoffs, but I think maybe they'll obviously once playoff time comes, anything can happen. But the way things are going, it might be worth just building for next season almost now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They'll probably come back and bite me in the ass when they win the playoffs. But
well, if I do, I'll play that little comment over and over to you again, just make sure you were aware of it. elsewhere in the league, while we were enjoying our games at the weekend, Coventry and Basingstoke were having a hell of a match.
Yes, I mentioned it briefly last week, the first goalie fight in Odyssey history, but it didn't quite reach the levels of the goalie fight that occurred in that game.
Mm-hmm. One of our favourites, Mark Bernard, Bernie himself, getting involved with former Giants netminder Martin Klempa.
Yeah, Bernie, as we seemed to notice a couple of weeks ago, seems to have a bit of a temper on him.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
And doesn't yeah, it was great fun, but he doesn't seem to take an awful lot to get riled. So as far as I can make out, obviously neither of us was over in Basingstoke. But as far as we can make out, I'll just pick something up off the Elite League forum as to what happened. Graham Bedak seemed to be the guy that started it.
Not. Graham Bedak?
Not as if trouble ever gets
involved.
But ran a bit of interference on Sean Maltby, and Sean Maltby decided to take his revenge by whacking him with a big two-handed slash, for which he actually got a 5+ plus game. So Bielak then, sort of being Graham Bielak, decided the best thing to do would be to check Maltby into the boards, which started a little bit of a gathering around the boards involving all 10 skaters who were on the ice at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, and again, I'm just going from what I've read, I think just as things were starting to clear up, Mark Bernard decided that he would have a little wave down to Martin Klempa, and off Bernie skated down towards centre ice, calling Martin Klempa towards him. Klempa set off, I think, in the general direction, but Bernie made the mistake of crossing the red line, whereas Klempa stayed in his own half, so a bit of smartness there from Martin Klempa. And then I think Klempa, once that had happened, Klempa changed his mind. So Bernie then received 2 minutes for leaving the crease. Again, misconduct for crossing the halfway line, which is in the rules, and a 10-minute misconduct as well. Whereas Martin Klempa got 2 minutes for leaving the crease. So, I don't know, obviously, from what I've read, whether the gloves came off or anything, but...
1-0 to Marty, the Marty, I think, in that situation.
Yep, and to be fair to Marty, I don't know. Well, you never know. It's always the quiet ones you have to watch and all that, but I don't think he'd had much of a chance against Bernie if the gloves had come off.
Bernie would have showed the rage, but...
Yeah.
Well, we all, here in the Views from the Ridge, we love Bernie. Absolutely.
We do love Bernie.
Bernie's fantastic. Where is Bernie?
The problem with it was, and seems to have caused a bit of trouble with the business of fans, they don't seem to have taken to it too well. The Bison then went on to lose that game 8-1 with their backup, Dan Green, in goal. So, obviously, it wasn't the most sensible thing Bernie's ever done.
No, certainly not.
Not exactly a coach leading by example.
Certainly not. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Bernie come next weekend in the Odyssey. But looking forward to this weekend on Friday night.
Just before you go on, just since we don't seem to have much information on what actually happened, if there's anyone from Basingstoke or Coventry who was at that game and like to let us know, get in touch.
Yeah, Stu, that's a good point, Aaron. If you are Basingstoke listening in and saw what happened and have your own views about what Bernie got up to and Marty got up to. Give us a shout, of course, podcast@kingofthegiants.com or give us a ring on 0141-416-1296. But as I was saying, the Nottingham game this Friday night was something we've mentioned already today and a big game.
Yep, it seems to have taken on just that little bit extra importance now with sort of the last couple of results we've had in the league. Nottingham have kind of dropped away a bit as regards sort of being in the race. I think they're 11 points behind us now.
Mm-hmm.
Although they do, obviously, they've the two games in hand, but it's still 11 points at the minute. So for them, obviously, they really feel, I would imagine, they would have to win just to get, you know, just to keep in touch there.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to pick up the win, I would say that would pretty much put them too far behind now.
Well, it's the point of this championship is in our own hands. It's ours to lose, in my opinion. And if we do go down to teams like Nottingham and like we did for Newcastle, well, maybe that's not as bad because Newcastle and Nottingham still have to play each other. But it's really the games against the likes of Basingstoke and Sheffield and likes of Edinburgh and whatever that we need to be just making sure that we're pulling the points together. The games, if we win the games against Nottingham and the games against Newcastle, I see that as a bonus.
Yeah, well, I would agree with you to an extent. Obviously, the main thing is that we've the points sort of in the bank already.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd always rather have the points than the games in hand.
Certainly.
Unless, of course, you're chasing, then you'd maybe rather have the games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it'll be. I still think it'll be a pretty important game, you know, whichever way it goes.
Mm-hmm. Nottingham have a bit of a problem with imports.
Yes, I believe they've won too many. They've 12 now that Kelly Carlson, I believe it is, has got back to full strength,
mm-hmm,
or full fitness. They brought in, I can't even remember who it was that they brought in, but whenever Dion Darling injured his shoulder, someone was brought in to cover for him. And then just as he recovered, Kelly Carlson went down injured as well. And was it Welsh? I think it was Graham Welsh was brought in.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So he's been covering for Darling and now for Carlson. And he's actually been playing quite well. I think he picked up a hat-trick last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a tough decision for Glazer to decide who it is he wants to leave out there.
Bit of a difference in the wealth of riches between Sheffield and Nottingham there, with Nottingham being overly stocked with regards to imports and Sheffield being understocked.
The interesting and maybe funny thing about it as well is our friend with the great surname, Dan Seaman, was released by Sheffield and went to Nottingham, and I'm sure Sheffield would be absolutely delighted to have him still now.
Mm-hmm. No jokes. No jokes about Dan Seaman at all. Definitely. I think Seaman's also shown that he's a classy player who's able to stick them away. But I think in hindsight, that's one player that they were sorry to release. And of course, if you want to listen to the game, as always, Nigel and Wayne will be calling the game on www.belfastgiants.com. So tune in with Nigel on this show last week and calls the games as always with his in his own enamel style. The Saturday night, we travel to Basingstoke to see Bernie.
To see Bernie, our good friend. I wonder if Mike Menard, I'm sure, wouldn't turn him down.
No, I don't think many would turn him down. But it'll be, like you say, this is another one of these games that we've lost two road games in a row, but I'd like to think that against Basingstoke we'll be able to pick up the points.
Well, as you said already, it's one where we have to pick up the points. We can't afford to be dropping points in games like, you know, against the teams that aren't so, you know, are struggling and are down low in the league. Bernie's come out with a statement on his team's website, which I'll just read a few select bits out for you. Says, sorry this is a little late today, but I've been really trying hard to think of how to put a positive spin on a terrible game on Saturday, and I finally came up with an answer. I can't. All I can do is say, as a team, we were horrible in our defensive zone, and this has to improve now, not next week or after a few games, but right now. We do have talent, and we do have a good team, but, and this is a big but, we need everyone to work equally hard all the time, not choose their spots here and there like some have been doing. I will guarantee one thing. The team that hits the ice on Thursday best be ready to play like it's Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals and play for 60 minutes, because they just don't owe it to each other. They owe it to all of you. So obviously some fighting words from Bernie there.
Yeah, it's good if Bernie decided now's the time to play. And I come out there with a big butt, and I like big butts, and I cannot lie. But seriously, it's a... Why now? You know, Bernie, please, you should have been playing from the bloody start of the season.
Yeah, but it's nice to see that he's fired up, and he's certainly behind his team and wants them to play well. But, I mean, as you say, it's just a shame that they've started this just as we're heading over there.
Yeah. But we'll see if it does turn them around. No offence to the Basingstoke fans.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've some good players. They've Sean Maltby, obviously, who'd be one of the class players of the league. Jerry Galway is a good defenceman. Mm-hmm. Brad Cruikshank, who seems to be pretty tough, and the problems obviously seems to be their defence and their goaltending, which we've discussed before, with Mark Bernard himself playing most of the season now. And
yeah,
it's just a shame, really, that they do seem to be struggling.
Yeah, well,
of course, and as well, it's an away game the night after a tough home game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and as we've said many a time before, we do seem to struggle on these.
This season with back-to-back games like that, home and away stats are against us, that we do seem to either draw or lose the away leg of that. But like I say, we've had very few problems with the Basingstoke Bison this season, and I really hope that doesn't change.
Of course, with the view from the bridge curse after we've said that, it probably will.
Yes, the curse of views from the bridge striking a few times this season, so we'll see next week in if so, I'll hardly apologise. But on that bombshell, I think it's time we wrapped up the show. Like I say, the game on Friday night against Nottingham Panthers, you can get on www.belfastgiants.com with Nigel and Wayne. And if you want to contact our show, it would be podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. Give us a call on 0141-416-1296 or contact our website at www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. We will be back next week, Aaron.
We will indeed. We don't know what we've got in store for you yet, but I'm sure it'll be enjoyable as always.
It always is enjoyable, of course it is. It's enjoyable for me anyway. But until then, thanks for joining us, Aaron.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you next week on the Bridge.
Here we go.